And I'm pleased to say my guests this afternoon have arrived. They're sitting with me, having a nice little chat off the air, actually. And we've got Carol and Jeff Lamkin. They're from the Dorchester Macular Degeneration Group. A very good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay. If we could start with you, please, Jeff. Can you explain to the listeners what macular degeneration is?
I can, yeah. Thanks for that, Andy. Good afternoon, everybody. Out there listening. My name's Jeff. I've had macular degeneration, I think, on and off for probably the best part of 40 years. When I was at college, which was even before that, I began to notice that I was finding it really difficult to see what was written on the board at the front of the lecture hall. Nobody else seemed to be. And as time went on, gradually things became a little worse. I could look at a tree. And, yeah, it was green and tall and a nice shape and waving in the wind, but other people could see the leaves. I couldn't. As time went by, it became obvious that my sight wasn't quite right. And I went through the usual run of opticians and going here and there. But it wasn't until about 1982 that somebody actually said to me, "I think there's something wrong with your eyes. You better go and see an ophthalmologist," which I did. He wasn't a very sensitive guy. We were living in Hong Kong at the time. And after his examination, he said to me, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a teacher." He said, "Oh, better look for a new job then."
Wow.
Not the most sensitive diagnosis, I thought. But anyway, I went for a second opinion at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London and had a very, very different reception. I saw the top guy there and he was very reassuring and gave me lots of positive vibes. I had good colleagues who understood, helped me, and it all worked out very well. In the end, I managed to keep my job and enjoy it. And I had lots and lots of support, both at school and at home, with a family who understood that Dad's sight wasn't all that it should be. So that was the setting for it. Now, macular degeneration, as you may well know, the macula is the tiny central part of the retina, and it's the part of it which gives you the detail and what you really need for reading, seeing detail, colour. And it's pretty difficult when it starts to go. The rest of the retina is the peripheral vision, and I've still got a reasonable amount of that. But when the macula begins to degenerate with age, it becomes known as age-related macular degeneration, and you may well know somebody who's got it or have it yourself. There's about 7.5 million people in the nation who may suffer, and of course we'll never know the exact number. If you think there's something wrong with your sight, my advice is, if you haven't been recently, go to your optician. If you do that and have a good examination, you can be reassured, or you can be passed on to your GP and maybe on to a hospital clinic who can tell you exactly what the problem is.
That must have been a terrible shock when you had that first chat with the man in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it certainly was. Went away from that thinking, you know, I've just arrived in Hong Kong to do a new job. Here I am with my family. We were expecting our second, and thought, what on earth am I going to do? But I just carried on, and with, as I say, an awful lot of assistance and from colleagues, and also, of course, Carol, my wife. We got through and gradually just got used to it. And you begin then to build up strategies for coping with it. Mm. We're lucky that in Hong Kong, public transport was absolutely amazing. You could walk out of the door and flag down a taxi. And there was a minibus service, which, again, you could just walk out, flag it down, and when you wanted to get off, Well, it didn't matter whether there was a stop there or not. You shouted, "Yallop," and the driver stopped and let you off.
Well, yeah, well, a little bit of foreign language we're learning as well. And Carol, so yes. It must have been a terrible shot for you as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was really, really tough because you wonder what was going to happen in the future. Mm. And I find it quite emotional talking about it because Jeff is just amazing and copes with it so well. But it was tough, yes, and it was a terrible shock when you were diagnosed. Mm. You didn't mention actually when you went to Moorfields, and Professor Bird, who you saw, said, you know, "And are you still driving?" And Jeff said, "Well, yes, I am actually." And he went, "My goodness, no, surely you're not still driving." He was absolutely shocked that Jeff was still. So Jeff, you haven't driven now for 50 years, so. Mm. And 40 years, probably. 40, yeah. 40 years, which, again, is tough. You know, you totally lose that independence and everything becomes difficult. But there are wonderful aids and things out there now. So life, you know, since you've been diagnosed, things have changed. There are wonderful reading machines, and Jeff listens to books on a stick. Audio books all the time.
Yeah, I used to do the tapes, the recorded tapes of the records. Yeah. So now it's on a memory stick.
Yeah, that's right. So there are so many things out there to help people. And of course, you know, if you have an iPad, you can expand it. On your phone, you can speak into it. And so life has changed so much for people now that there is so much help out there.
And it affects people of all ages as well. It's not just, I think it affects more. It's older people, but it can be all ages, can't it?
Yes, I think you know, it's got the name age-related macular degeneration. So obviously it does affect the more mature and elderly folks. And a lot of people just think, oh, well, I'm getting old. I can't see as well as I used to. There may be something more wrong than excuse the pun, meets the eye. So, but... Professor Bird sent me in some good directions. I was sent to a visual aids clinic and came away with some suitable magnifiers and also a very clever machine then, which at that time was the old cathode ray television tube. But it was a portable, sort of portable device, a television with a platform under it, a CCTV camera, and you could place forms, letters, pieces of text and whatever on the platform underneath and have them enlarged and visible on the screen in front of you.
That's brilliant.
It was great. I've still got one, but it's a modern flat screen version in colour. And if you placed a telephone directory underneath it, you know how small the text is on those.
Yeah.
If anybody ever uses one these days.
I was going to say, then if we got any.
What is a telephone directory? Yes. But the tiny print in that could be magnified up so that the number on it would almost virtually fill the screen. So they were very, very versatile, good devices and very useful indeed. The other thing that was most useful is that I was able to join a national group. It's a charity group and it's called the Macular Society. And the Macular Society works across the country. They have 400 support groups in different towns and cities around the place, and a number of employees who are sort of regional managers, and we have one for the southwest and so on. And as a support group, we just meet once a month to do exactly what it says on the can. We offer support both by bringing in speakers, by telling people about the technology that's available. Various people who can provide that come in to show us what they've got, and everybody shares their own experience, the way they've dealt with it, and offer, as I say, support to each other. And that's fantastic.
Yes, brilliant. Have you got the contact details for your local group?
what happens is people actually contact the Macular Society, and then the Macular Society get in touch with us. So the advice and information service for the Macular Society is 0300 3030 then 111.
Correct.
And the Macular Society is wonderful. They have a wonderful website. You can have 6 months free. The first 6 months is free. You don't pay anything, and you get a magazine, which will tell you all about the latest research that's going on. And it can come as a CD if you're unable to read the magazine. In fact, I've actually brought a magazine for you to have a little look at.
Okay, but lovely,
thanks. It's really, you know, big, bold writing, so it's very accessible. They also have webinars once a month. And the webinars are just free. You can log on, and it's all about, it'll possibly about the latest research, or they're always really, really informative. So they do webinars as well, and it's got a wonderful website. If you just type in Macular Support Group into Google, it'll come up with their website, which is it's got so much information, and they have a helpline, and the help you can ring up about any problem that you have. And if you want to find out about, we actually don't give out our telephone number. It's all done through the Macular Society, so you ring that number and ask about, is there a local Dorchester group?
Yeah.
And then the person at Macular Society gets in touch with us.
Because there's a lot of things which can contribute to it as well, isn't there? Like lifestyle things like smoking and diet and so on, isn't there?
Yes. Yours is definitely probably hereditary. Your mother had it. Possibly. A lot of people, it is hereditary. People in our group, there's one lady and her mother had it and her grandmother had it. Mm. And she's just got the beginnings of it. So it's very definitely can be hereditary. But you're quite right. Mm. Smoking, drinking, bad lifestyle, basically. Can
be. There are lots of those things. Professor Bird told me that there were, even at that time when I saw him in the early 80s, over 100 identified different causes and types of macular and retinal atrophies, 100. And we met somebody in Hong Kong whose work was being, an archaeologist?
Mm.
And she'd been working in Thailand, and she was told that she'd probably contracted it by working, would you believe, in a cave with bats. So that it can happen anywhere, anytime. lots of ways. Can be hereditary. It can be something you've been in touch with.
Mm. And also age. You know, definitely comes into it now. And in fact, you know, they reckon the numbers of people with macula will double by the year 2050, just because, you know, it's an aging population.
Yeah.
So, it's a big problem, you know, isn't it?
It is. Mm. The number of people, I think it was quoted as one of the figures, is about 1.5 million people at the moment. And that's roughly, 4 in 100. Or maybe 1 in 100. It was it's difficult to put a figure on it, because of course there are so many people who aren't actually identified.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big, so if you think of the number of people you know in your life, all the, if you, the liver, the number on your street, the number of kids in a class of children, it's likely that one of them is going to suffer with it at some point in their life.
Mm. So the advice is, if you think you've got a problem with your eyesight, go and get it checked straight away.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Straight to the optician. And from there, if the optician finds something significant, you can go then, and your GP will then refer you on to the hospital unit.
Mm. Well, thank you both very much for coming in this afternoon. I'm sure everybody found that very interesting. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.